Well, a recent report entitled Social Media Use in Children's Well-Being, published by the Institute of Labor Economics, found that kids between 10 and 15 years old who spend as little as 1 hour a day chatting on social networks are overall less content with their lives, overall less happy. Quoting from this study, the average teen spends, based upon like an hour does this, the average teen spends 9 hours per day using electronic devices, much of which is social media, said Tom Kersting, a psychotherapist, school counselor, and the author of Disconnected, How to Reconnect Our Digitally Distracted Kids. And he continues, it has become more than just a part of life. It's now a way of life for our youth. Well, Simon Sinek, a leadership and management consultant, in a talk entitled Millennials in the Workplace, came up with, and I'm summarizing some of his topics here, he summarized four characteristics of why our youth are unfulfilled, why our youth are unhappy in life and in the workplace. And of these four, it was parenting, technology, impatience, and environment. And I want to touch a little bit just on the technology and the impatience topics he covered. And he talks about the fact in many studies that dopamine is released in our brains when engaged in social media. And we get those likes, the dopamine goes up, we get that little bit of a satisfaction, that high is what dopamine elicits. And dopamine is created in our minds or in our brains as a critical chemical release for brain functions, including thinking, moving, sleeping, for mood, for attention, for motivation, for seeking, and for reward. Now, that dopamine is the same chemical released when smoking, when drinking, and when gambling. All highly addictive activities when unmoderated, and all activities that have age restrictions. You know, one reference in the Journal of Social and Clinical Psychology, dated 2014, states, both studies provide evidence that people feel depressed after spending a great deal of time on Facebook because they feel badly when comparing themselves to others. It's that dopamine high that we're getting, that our young children are getting because of these simple devices when they're unmoderated, when they're allowed just to spend average. And that's average. What's the high end of that? Well, Simon goes on to talk about this young generation, the job placement, or you know, how they're getting placed in jobs, and what they think of when they go out into this workforce. And he summarizes it this, like these kids start out, they're standing at a mountain with the ideal that they want to have an impact in their jobs, in their lives, which is to reach that summit on top of the mountain. What they don't see because of this building up of impatience, of instant gratification, what they don't see is there is a mountain between them and the summit. And it's required of them to climb that mountain. You're not going to get anything for free. You're not going to make an impact in life or in business within the first few months you're there. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes a lot more than just desiring to be at that peak. It takes, you know, that effort to actually get to it, to reach it, to climb it. Well, his conclusion is that we will have, with this growing, this young generation, an entire generation going through life without finding true fulfillment, without finding true joy. A generation that has instilled within themselves this idea of instant gratification, of wanting to have things right away when they want them, not having built up this idea that you have to work to get these great peaks in life. And true joy and fulfillment, as he summarizes, comes from working on something with diligence and possibly for a long time, possibly for a good portion of your life. And those things are what are fulfilling, what give us true joy and true happiness. Well, he hits on one reason why mankind cannot find God today. Man wants to know God, but man wants to know God on their own terms, with instant gratification. But Paul shows what mankind's motivation is really based upon. If you will, turn with me to 2 Timothy 3, and is speaking about what he classifies as end-time attitudes. The second book of Timothy, starting in chapter 3, starting in verse 3. There's a whole list of things that he attributes to the end-time ideas. But I want to look at... He talks about a generation without self-control, a generation that is headstrong, a generation that is haughty. They're lovers of pleasure rather than being lovers of God. And those people have a form of godliness, but denying its power. You know, many people diligently seek after God, but cannot find him because God hasn't opened their minds up, because they are seeking God in the wrong way, on their own terms. You know, if you just believe in Christ as the sole source, if you just want that peak, that desire, although necessary, it takes no effort, and it doesn't prove to God what our character really is. It proves our intent, but doesn't prove to God what we're really willing to go through in following after Christ's own examples, following after Christ's own words, that we must do as he did. And James said this kind of religion is dead. We turn over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Faith, as we know, without works is dead. You know, we have a whole generation, in fact, we have generations that desire instant gratification with religion. You can go to a charismatic service, get that dopamine rush, find Jesus, then you go back to your own life if you haven't built up a foundation that can sustain you with those feelings, with that intent, with that desire to reach Jesus Christ, to reach that peak. And that attitude will not sustain. That attitude will not give a foundation that is lasting. You know, we aren't divorced from that mindset either. If we skip back into our old carnal ways, our old ways of thinking that Christ said we have to turn away from, that we have to never go back when we put our hands to the plow. And Jesus warned those following him of this. In John 6 and verse 27, he told us what we should be after, those traits that are lasting. John 6 and verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. You know, seek after those things that don't perish, that don't rot away. Well, the following, you know, following after Christ, seeking Christ in these terms, of being willing to climb up that mountain takes effort. It takes and requires a willingness to give up our past, to give up the old ways, and all that we're shackled to. And that is that mountain. For many, it's a lifetime struggle of determination, of not going back to what we were doing, but seeking going forward, striving to reach that peak, doing anything we can, giving up anything we have to, in order to reach after Christ. Because Christ himself said in Matthew 24:13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Those of us that climb that mountain and never give up will reach that peak. You know, we are told to endure, but why? Well, as Matthew 24 verse 11 states, false prophets are going to rise in these end times. False ideals of God will easily change our focus, will easily point us to the other direction, down that mountain, away from our goal. Verse 12 states, that our love and joy for this way of life can grow cold if we aren't focused entirely on following and seeking after Christ, being willing to climb that mountain. You know, Paul succinctly put away this concept of instant gratification, of instantly attaining perfection through Christ in Philippians 3. Because he himself did not think that he had achieved that. He knew that it was a lifelong struggle. Philippians 3, and starting in verse 12. Now that I have already, or not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, so he hadn't, he knew Christ, he knew all of this, but he was still climbing up that mountain. But I press on that I may lay hold of that on which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing he does consider, is forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Now that mountain, brethren, is set before each and every one of us. Its summit is attainable. And we have been given the understanding and the means to traverse its rocky path. And brethren, that is how we find joy. That climb to that mountain is how true joy will come to us, true understanding, and how we will achieve our eternal reward.